Amen. So, AV guys, we are ditching the message that I sent you. Because at 10:15 this morning, the Lord changed my mind. No, the Lord changed the message. And I'm going to tell you something. That's scarier than you can even believe. Today is Palm Sunday, right? Passover started yesterday. Now, I know we're not Jews, and we don't keep Passover in the, as the Judaism does. We don't keep Passover like they do in the Bible days, or even as they're doing today in Israel. Jews all around the world are celebrating Passover. And I thought I was going to teach on that today because I really like the story of Passover, how that the angel came down and passed over the houses that had the blood. What a message. In fact, I might just do that next Sunday morning for Easter because we can kind of throw a little Easter thought in there once in a while. And, you know, people come to church on Easter Sunday, some that never go to church any other time except Easter, and you know what they hear? The same Easter message over and over and over. So we might spice it up a little bit next Sunday and just add a little bit extra stuff. But thank you for being with us this morning and allowing me to do this because this is not my comfort zone. But I really believe that when the Lord speaks, we need to learn to obey. Yes. Yes. Amen? Amen? Now listen, folks, that means it may get uncomfortable for you sometimes. It does, and it's not easy. Following God sometimes is not easy. We think it's paved with peanut butter and jelly, but I'm telling you what, sometimes it's not. How many know sometimes it's paved with potholes? And so as the service began this morning, I leaned over and told Lou, and I said, Lou, man, I think I'm changing my message this morning, and I haven't studied this. And so you guys back there, you probably can't keep up with me this morning. Let me ask you this. Do you have the Passion Translation? If you do and want to follow, can you just type it in and let the computer do the work? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I have no idea where I'm starting here. Yeah, let's go ahead and start with verse 1 and go all the way to verse 17. You say, Pastor, if you haven't studied that, then why do you have notes? Because I preached along this line many years ago. And as I was preparing for my leadership sermon notes in Tanzania, I really felt this one jumped out at me, and I thought, wow, I'll do that in Tanzania. But I hadn't studied it yet. Tanzania's not here yet, and I haven't studied it, but I've got it in my notes, and so we're going to push through this today. How many is ready to receive the word of the Lord today? Amen. Amen. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. Amen. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. How many's got two Bibles this morning? And I will obey the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, I will never be the same. Let's look at these verses of Scripture here. And you just say a prayer for me as we step out in faith this morning. Is it start with but? Yep, but you need. But you need to be aware that in the final days, the culture of society will become extremely fierce and difficult for the people of God. Can I get a witness in this house today? I mean, this was written how many hundreds of years ago, and it's still true today. People will be self-centered lovers of themselves and obsessed with money. Can I get a witness? They will boast of great things as they strut around in their arrogant pride and mock all that is right. They will ignore their own families. They will be ungrateful and ungodly. They will become addicted to hateful and malicious slander. Slaves to their desires, they will be ferocious, belligerent haters of what is good and right. With brutal treachery, they will act without restraint, bigoted and wrapped in the clouds of their conceit. Boy, that words of Paul are very strong, aren't they? I think I'd quit his church if he was my pastor. Those are pretty strong words, right? They pretend to have a respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. Stay away from people like these. Did you read that? Do you see that? For they are the ones who worm their way into the hearts of vulnerable women, spending the night with those who are captured by their lust and steeped in sin. They are always learning, but never discover the revelation knowledge of truth. Isn't this awesome? It's a good word. I hope this sinks in today. History has given us an example of this with the Egyptian sorcerers, Jannes and Jambres, who stood against Moses in their arrogance. So it will be in the last days. Everybody shout, last days. With those who reject the faith with their corrupt minds and arrogant hearts, standing against the truth of God. Verse 9, notice these five words. They will not advance. Say it with me. They will not advance. For everyone will see their madness, just as they did with Jannes and Jambres. But you, Timothy, have closely followed my example and the truth that I have imparted to you. You have modeled your life after the love and endurance that I've demonstrated in my ministry by not giving up. Somebody shout, not giving up. The faith I have, you now have. In other words, I've modeled for you. I've set the example for you. I've lived it for you to see and watch. Hey, I've been here a long time, and I hope people are following and learning and growing and walking in the steps of faith that we've planted for all these years. Amen. The faith I have, you now have. Darlene's girls bought her, made her a picture. A framed picture, and the picture says women around the world, and it has their names all the way around that picture, and then at the bottom it says, we are your legacy. Things like that don't happen overnight. It happens because we don't give up. It happens because we don't quit. It's because we don't throw in the towel every time the boat gets rocked. Amen. Man, this is already good, isn't it? We haven't even started. What I have hungered for in life has now become your longing as well. The patience that I have with others, you now demonstrate. And the same persecutions and difficulties I have endured, you have also endured. Yes, you know all about what I had to suffer while in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. You were aware of all the persecution I endured there. Yet the Lord delivered me from every single one of them. The Lord delivered me from most of them. The Lord delivered me from two or three of them. The Lord delivered me from 90% of them. No, the Lord delivered me from all of them. God is still in the delivering all business. For all those who choose to live passionately and faithfully as worshipers of Jesus, the Anointed One, will also experience what? Shout it out. Will experience what? But the evil men and sorcerers will progress from bad to worst, deceived as they lead people further from the truth. Yet you must continue to advance in the strength. I don't know what your Bible says, but if it says anything close to that, underline it, highlight it, mark it. You must continue to advance in strength. Look at somebody and say, I'm telling you right now, you must continue to advance in strength. And it goes on and says, with the truth wrapped around your heart. With the truth wrapped around your heart, being assured by God that He, where are we at here? being assured by God that he's the one who has truly taught you all these things. Remember what you were taught from your childhood. How many is thankful for a praying grandmother that prayed you into salvation? How many is thankful for a great uncle, a great grandmother that would get on her knees and pray for those great, great grandchildren that are not yet born, that they'll come to know Jesus? Thank God for grandparents today and parents today. Parents, listen, start praying now that your grandchildren, children, pray. Remember what you were taught from your childhood, from the holy scrolls, which can impart to you wisdom to experience everlasting life through the faith of Jesus, the Anointed One. Every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower you. It'll empower you by its instruction and correction. Ooh, everybody say correction. Correction. How many knows correction is never easy? Correction is never fun. Correction never makes you feel good at first, right? You know, my dad always would say, now, son, I know it's going to hurt for a while, but it'll feel good later. But you know what? It took a long later to feel good after he got. And when, you know my dad. And I think most of you probably know my dad just by the way I teach and preach. And it's only going to hurt for a little while. But how many knows a little while in an adult's eyes is not quite as fast as it is in a child's eye? Giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. Then you will be God's servant, fully mature and perfectly prepared to fulfill any assignment God gives you. You will be prepared because the Word of God is dwelling in you richly. You will be prepared because you've been reading, studying, and planting the seed on the inside of you. And when the time comes, God's going to raise you up and you'll go forth in power and might and without that stinking devil telling you that you're a failure and can't do it. 1 and 2 Timothy and the book of Titus is what we call the pastoral epistles. I know we don't learn a lot around here about, you know, things like that. But for those of you that didn't know, we learned this in Bible college, that they're called pastoral epistles. All three of these books were written by the Apostle Paul. This morning, I sit in my bedroom, I open the Bible, and I begin reading from Corinthians. And I read about 5-6 chapters in there. And I tell you what, things jumped out of me that I'd never seen before. I started sharing them with my wife, and she come on, went to church, and I was still sitting there reading. Then I began to text them to her. Did you get them, hon? Did your car read them to you so you didn't have to read? Okay. Well, anyway, you know, man, there's every time you open the Word of God, it's living, it's active, it's alive, it's full of the revelation of God. And I don't get tired of reading the Word of God. But anyway, Paul wrote these, as you know, he wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament. And so Timothy and Titus, they became pastors. They became pastors of churches that Paul had planted while he was on his missionary journeys. He would go out, he would preach, get a congregation, get a church started, and then he would put a pastor in there, and he'd go to another place and start another church, and he would put a pastor in there, and he would leave them with a pastor. He'd move on to his next assignment. He did not leave those churches without spiritual leadership. He didn't start them and then just walk away and not place his spiritual sons in leadership over those churches. Why? Because churches need leadership. He knew that there was going to be difficulties. These young men had never pastored before, and he placed them in as a pastor. That was their first churches, and he knew that there was going to be adversity while pastoring. There was going to be difficulties, and so he wrote these letters to Titus. He wrote these letters to Timothy for the purpose of instructing them and encouraging them and letting them know that they're there to lead their congregations. He was instructing them that no matter how successful you are in one season of life, no matter how successful your ministry may be, there will still be challenges. In life, there will still be challenges. You may leave this place today rejoicing, praising God, and say, "Woo! No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I can run through a troop. I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. It's kind of funny, isn't it? I can run through a tree. I can run through, well, you know what I mean. So you walk out feeling like that, and then on the way home, something happens. You get to work tomorrow, something happens, and suddenly you're facing a challenging time. I want you to know today that life has a way of trying to zap us. Now listen, I am not a fear monger. I am not trying to propagate a message of fear. I'm telling you the truth that even though challenges come, God is still God. Even though we're walking out of church feeling great, honey, it's not always going to feel like that. I know last Sunday you probably walked out of here feeling 10 foot tall. But you know what? I'm sure the devil jumped on him the moment he got through the front door at his house, because that's what the devil comes to do. And we got to realize, you know what? That's all he can do is knock on the door. He don't come in unless you open the door. So Paul was wanting Timothy to know that he would be facing adversity, that he would be facing opposition. And he wanted to know that no matter what comes against you, no matter what, there is enough power, kingdom power, on the inside of every one of us to help us advance in adversity. And that's what we just read about, advancing in that adversity. And so we can advance in times of opposition. Amen? And so even though he wrote this to Timothy, and even though he was writing to Titus, how many knows the pastor is writing to you today? I'm reading to you the letter that Paul wrote to his pastoral staff. I'm reading what Paul wrote to you, the church, to help you to understand, even though God's called you and anointed you, even though you know what your calling is, there's still going to be opposition when you step out in faith to do what God called you to do. We all know that Lou and Tiff are associate pastors at Solid Rock. We all know that someday they're probably going to be the lead pastor here at Solid Rock. And, you know, right now they may be excited and ready to go and just nipping at the, just hoping that we'll not wake up tomorrow morning and they'll be the pastors of the church, you know. And they're just ready to go. But I want to tell you something. They may be excited today, but I'm telling you what, 2 weeks after pastoring, they're going to say, "Mom and Dad, come on back." Because you can walk in your gifting. You can walk in what God's called you to do. But it doesn't always mean peanut butter and jelly. Can I hear a good amen this morning? And I Paul doesn't sugarcoat it. Listen, you read the book of Corinthians, you'll find out Paul don't sugarcoat anything. When that man was caught sleeping with his stepmother, yeah, that's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. A man in the church, nobody here, but it was a man in that church that was sleeping with his stepmother, and the church ignored the problem, or ignored the sin. The leadership said, "Oh, it's okay. You know, we'll just stick our head in the sand and turn our backs on it." But I'm going to tell you what. When Paul got done with them, they said, "Kick the jerk out. If he's not willing to repent, kick him out." And I know, he goes on and he says, I know that it's not going to be easy for you to do that. He's probably the most prosperous man in the church. He's probably the biggest giver in the church. But Paul said, kick him out, because it's better for him if he gets kicked out and gives his repents than it is to keep on letting him stay in the church like everything's all right. Can I tell you something? Sleeping together unmarried is still a sin. I don't care how popular it is. I've heard the excuses. Well, I just want to get to know him better. I want to get to know her better. And if I can live with her for a year, then I'll know whether or not we're going to make it in marriage. Listen, you ain't going to make it like that. Do you know most marriages that start off with people living together for over a year end up in divorce? Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. Paul doesn't sugarcoat anything. I'm telling you, you need to read that book of Corinthians. Amen. We're not exempt. Amen, Patty? We're not exempt. Huh? Amen. We're not exempt. I wish I could tell you that when you got saved, everything's going to turn up roses. But how many here has been saved at least a week? Let me see your hand. You know what? How many's finding out that it's not always a rose petal path? But that's not, we don't quit because of that. we advance because of that. We don't allow that to throw us off course. We take advantage of that and allow it to propel us and advance into God's kingdom more, even more than we... Oh, amen. Yeah, I'm getting so excited this morning. Sometimes we go through things, Mark, that's unexplainable. I saw something the other day as a little boy, I think it was on a reel, a little boy was saying, God, why did you take my daddy? God, why did you kill my daddy? The world is messed up, blaming God for stealing a parent or parents blaming God for taking a child. Listen, folks, God is not in the stealing and killing business. You need to read John 10 and 10. Amen. So sometimes we do go through difficult times. We go through unexplainable times. I don't know why I got laid off on my job. I don't know why my sales are down. I don't know why I didn't get that promotion. I don't know why I didn't get that job. That's okay. You just hang in there. God's got something better for you. I told somebody the other day, they said, well, I didn't get the job I wanted. And I said, that's okay. God's got a better job for you. There's something better coming along. You agree with that? Shout amen. Amen. Psalms 34:19 NIV. I'll wait until it comes up. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him out of... Come on, say it how many? NLT. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. How many knows that first-time responders sometimes don't get there on time? They don't get there early enough. Sometimes they run into a snag. And I saw one time where a fire truck was headed to a house that was on fire, and there was ice on the road, and that fire truck slid sideways, turned around, slid, and ran into the front of another house. Those first responders didn't make it in time. But my Bible says God always rescues on time. On time. On time. Can you shout on time? Come on, folks. I'm trying to excite you a little bit this morning. He comes every time. Here's what the Passion Translation says. Even when bad, though it doesn't say if bad things. It says, even when bad things happen to the good and godly ones, God will save them and not let them be defeated by what they face. Amen. Is this okay, Steve?
Amen, brother.
You still supporting me?
A lot.
Okay. I mean, how many times have you gotten ticked at God and said, well, God, I thought we were friends. God, I thought you were my father. God, I thought we were tight. I thought it was you and me, Jesus, got our own thing going. Nobody else, just you and me, Jesus. We got our own thing going. So Paul takes the time to encourage these young pastors. Yes, perilous times are coming. He said, son, it's going to get worse than what it is right now. But you keep advancing.
Yes, amen.
You keep advancing, and you don't quit the ministry. You don't quit your assignment. You don't leave your gifting. Do you know the Bible says that the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable? Amen. He said, you need to be aware, son, in the final days, the culture, the society, going to be extremely fierce. That's what he said, right? Extremely fierce. And it's going to be difficult times for the people of God. I don't know what it was like in Titus's day or Timothy's day. I sure know what it's like in our day, Luke. I mean, there's people that will back you into a corner and say, well, now it's okay to do this, and it's okay to do that, and it's all right to be this, and it's okay to change this, and it's okay to change that. Listen, People, we're in a day and time when everything's okay. Now, I know some of you don't want me to preach this, right? Some of you wishing I would have went ahead and gone with the Passover message. Come back next Sunday. I'd rather obey God and make God happy than to disobey God and upset you. And I mean that. I mean that. If this upsets you, there's plenty of other churches around here. You can find another church. But I'd rather obey God. Thank you. I know that You know, Facebook may blow up this afternoon and say, well, that preacher, he's not preaching the faith message. He's not preaching that positive faith. He's not preaching that word of faith. He's preaching that they're going to have problems and trials. Listen, folks, even the people that preach the faith message have difficult times. I know many of them that's already died that was strong in the faith that maybe died of a heart attack or cancer. Listen, don't make me feel guilty this morning. Well, you're not going to. But listen, let Facebook blow up. I still believe in the Word of God. I believe in the Word of faith. But I'm also going to tell you the truth that in this day and time, as things are getting worse and worse, there will be challenging times on earth, in your life, in your neighborhood. Amen? Amen. Matthew 8:28, please. Pick any version you want. Matthew 8:28. When he came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes. I think we talked about this yesterday, Luke. I think. Maybe it was Wednesday night. By the way, Luke did an awesome job Wednesday night. Amen. Can I invite you to Wednesday night church? We have some good, good preaching and teaching around here. And you would really, really enjoy it. You know, we've said... And thank you, Luke, for saying that. Luke said, we need to throw away the clocks. How can we can or box God in to a 1 or 2 hour service? If the Spirit of God begins to move, I had a pastor call me this week, and he said, Pastor Darrell, he said, Sunday morning, talking about last Sunday, he said, the Spirit of God fell in our church, and he said, we were in the front laying hands on people and prophesying over people until after 1:30 in the afternoon. Nobody wanted to go home. How did I get there? When he came to the other side of the... Luke, thanks for saying that. We need to throw the clock away. Stop being so time conscious. Whoever started this idea that church is out at noon? Where did that ever come from? You should have went to some of Paul's services. Paul preached one time till after midnight. And they fell asleep, fell out of the window, died. Do you think that slowed Paul down? Heavens no. He went down there, prayed for the guy, came back to life, and went back up and started preaching again. We couldn't have sat under Paul's preaching. No. God forbid. Greatest apostle that ever lived besides Jesus. All right. I don't even know where I'm at. Gatorade. Oh, Gadarenes. When he came to the other side of the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men met him coming out of the tombs, so fierce that no one could pass that way. I want to tell you something. Jesus is not afraid of any stinking, little, screaming, yelling, ugly-voiced demon. He's not going to back away. Jesus is not going to back away because those devils couldn't have stopped him, couldn't have slowed him down. And Paul is teaching and explaining to Timothy that we're going to find ourselves in those kind of times and days and situations. Amen. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Why would the times become so perilous? Why would the days become so dangerous? Who would have ever thought that it's so dangerous that you can't walk down the city's streets of St. Louis without feeling unsafe? Especially after 8 o'clock at night. Why is it that you can't go to Chicago and enjoy the sights and sounds and the beautiful waterfront of Chicago and Michigan Avenue anymore? Because of the times when people are stupid. Amen? I probably shouldn't say that word, but amen. And so he's saying here, and so the question is, why are the days becoming so ugly? Why are the days becoming so dangerous and so perilous? I'm going to tell you why. Because the men have become so ungodly. Now listen. Men are not ungodly because of the times are perilous. Times are perilous because of the ungodly men and evil in the world. That makes sense? Can I say it again? Men are not ungodly because the times are perilous. Times are perilous because the men are ungodly. Amen. Stop blaming it on the times. It's the people. Amen. How many knows there's still hope for America? There's still hope for Farmington. Thank God there's still hope for Solid Rock. There's hope for your family. Don't give up. I know your son or daughter's in jail right now, but don't give up. I know they're strung out on drugs and probably in a rehab someplace, teen challenge or something. Don't give up. I know your kids are probably selling marijuana and you don't approve of it. Don't give up. I know your granddaughter had an abortion, but don't give up. You heard some testimonies during the ladies' conference of what God has done through people that have experienced that before. Amen. So, I got some things here I want to give to you real quick. Paul takes the time to catalog the activity of the evil. You saw it in verse 2, and the activity of the godless society. But I do want to remind you that we do not wrestle with flesh and blood. Come on, church. I still don't think we know that for sure. I still don't know if we really believe that. Because if we really believed that we didn't wrestle with flesh and blood, we wouldn't get so upset with one another. Did you see me almost fall? I bet you three guys would have been up here before I hit the floor. I doubt it too. I fell before in this church and nobody was there to pick me up. After I was laying on there, I had to get up myself. Were you here, Luke? Dwayne was. And I was young then. We do not wrestle with people. But why do we get upset with people when things happen? There's a spirit behind things that happen. We yield to a particular kind of a suggestion from the enemy or an influence of the enemy. But yet, when somebody does us wrong, we divide ourselves. I'm not going to have anything to do with you because you were ugly to me. Let me tell you something. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Huh? It's not your mother-in-law that's the problem, folks. It's not your father-in-law that's the problem. You know what I'm talking about, Steve. Go ahead and laugh. No, I said that for your benefit. Way too much fighting going on. Way too much hatred. Hey, open Facebook. Open up Facebook and you'll see how much hatred and spewing out of nasty stuff is going on Facebook. I like Facebook to a certain place, to a certain degree. I like it for ministry, but I don't like it when people start getting on there and running other people down and running other things down. Listen, folks, too much wrestling with flesh and blood is going on. Is this okay today? How many will stay with me a little bit longer? I'm not going to ask you how many minutes, but you stay with me a little bit longer. The Bible says in verse 5 that we just read a while ago out of the Passion Translation, it said to stay away from them. Stay away from them that are going to pull you down. Stay away from them that are going to try to intimidate you, because we have a work to do. And if we listen to everything everybody says, you're going to be nothing but confused. Amen? Amen? How many knows everybody has an opinion? I'll say it like I used to say it because my filter's broken this morning. Everybody has an opinion, just like everybody has an underarm, and it stinks. That was what? That's a good filter. Okay. Oh, how I love Pastor Rhodes. Oh, how I love Pastor Rhodes. Stay away from them, verse 5 says. Now, how many knows you can still evangelize people? We still should evangelize people. We should never push them away because they're sinners and they're not doing right. We should evangelize them. Amen? But you don't become bosom buddies with them because they can poison your soul. They can poison your soul. You don't snuggle up with people that's going to poison you. You don't fellowship with the devil. Okay. Let me say it like this. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Huh? Show me your friends, and I'll show you. If you'll just take a minute and just do a little bit of investigation in your life, you'll find out that you are today a product of what you hung out with a few years ago. Amen? Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Amen. So I'm here to tell you today, don't be confused. Don't be discouraged when your joy meter begins to go down on empty. Amen. Right? Just okay, don't everybody walk out on me at the same time now. My joy meter is not always on full. Sometimes things happen in ministry, and my joy level begins to it begins to leak out of the tank. Now, that's my fault. That's not your fault. That's not God's fault. That's my fault. I bear responsibility for that. I can't even blame the devil. How many knows sin has no dominion over us? Satan has no authority over us. So if my joy meter is running low, and I'm going to tell you something, Christians ought to be the most joyful people in the world. I'm telling you what, we got something to celebrate. Next Sunday, we're celebrating Easter. But I want to tell you, we ought to be celebrating Easter every day. We've got something to celebrate every day of our lives. The Bible says a lot about being unequally yoked. And again, you can go back to Paul's book of Corinthians, and you'll find out he has a lot to say about becoming unequally yoked together. But I want to say this, and I want to say this loud and clear. We're not dealing with a devil that's equal to Jesus. I want you to hear that loud and clear. We're not dealing with a devil that is equal with Jesus. Jesus still has the devil on a leash, and he can only go so far. I said, the devil's on a leash, and he can only go so far. Yes, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he doesn't have the power to do that unless you allow it. You all believe that this morning? Do you want me to preach on that for a while? You have the authority. Life and death is in, the power of life and death is in your tongue. Not the devil's tongue, not the devil's accusations. In your tongue, in your mouth. My Lord, this pastor's doing some good preaching today. If you don't encourage me, I'll encourage myself. How many knows the devil and the demons threw a party on that day? They threw him in the grave. That Friday night, they threw him in the grave. They were throwing a party. I bet they were all getting drunk, smoking weed and getting high on drugs. They were probably having a great time, you know. Just partying about, well, we finally got him. We finally got him. Well, you know what? They didn't finally get him. Can I hear a good amen? Amen. I said, yeah, they didn't finally get him. Amen. The enemy of God is still on a leash. The devil are not on the same level. And it's not a question who's going to win in the end. You know why? Because it's already won. Did you hear me? It's already won. He already fought the battle, and he won the victory for us. Okay. Somebody said, well, I'm almost finished. No, Jesus already finished it, folks. Stop saying, well, it looks like it's almost over. No, Jesus already took care of it. He's already paid the price. He delivered into your hands life more abundantly. Say this with me. No weapon formed against me will ever prosper. Paul talks about how in these last days, things are going to become chaotic. Things are going to be so messed up. And he's telling Timothy and Titus here, his young ministers, you know, it's only going to get bad. It's only going to get worse. But he doesn't stop there. And that's where I get a little upset with some preachers that will say, okay, let's go home. They stop in the middle of things are going to get worse. But that's not the end. Paul continues, and we just read it in verse number whatever it was, but you, Timothy, must continue to advance in strength. That was verse number 14. You must continue to advance in strength. How do I advance in adversity? How do I keep moving forward when it feels like I've got so much pressure pushing against me that I can't move forward? How do I push forward in the middle of this attack that I'm going through? How do I push forward in the middle of this doctor's report that I just got? How do I push forward when me and my wife just had a big fight or she's asked for a divorce? How do I push forward? I'm glad you asked that, because I'm going to give you four ways, and I'm going to do it real quickly, on how to advance in these last days of difficulty and adversity. It's found, number one, is found in verse 10, where Paul says, follow my example and the truth. The way, number one way, one out of four, is to follow the example of Paul and the example of Jesus and follow the truth. When you get in the middle of adversity, you better know who you're following. Did you hear me? You better know who you're serving. You better know that you're either 100% committed or you're in big trouble. Amen? The Bible says in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. The what? Author and finisher. It doesn't say looking unto CNN. MSN. It don't say looking under MSNBC or CBS or even Fox News. I'm a Fox News fan, but you know, you can't just look under Fox News for your faith. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Woo. Jesus did not run away from Calvary. Jesus did not run away from the scourging and the beating that the Roman guards gave to him. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The Bible says in Isaiah, I believe it was, that as a lamb is silent before he goes to the, you know, as the lamb is silent, so was Jesus as he went before his slaughterers. Actually, the word slaughter there means butcher. Jesus was on his way to be butchered. Do you hear me? He was butchered alive, Roth. I think sometimes we forget, Lou, what Jesus went through for our healing. We forget the price that he paid through the butchering of his body. When you see Jesus hanging on a cross in some Bible bookstore, it's not going to be the same picture of Jesus that took our sicknesses and our infirmities. What do you think, Sam? Okay. This. Okay. You can stay. Looking unto Jesus. Know who you're following. When adversity comes your way, don't forget, I'm following Jesus. He's the author and the developer of my faith. Don't stop following the truth. Open up the Word of God and get back in the Word of God. You say, what chapter, what verse, what book? Any book. All Scripture is given by inspiration. Amen? All is God-breathed. Sometimes we think we need a particular verse. I have found out, Alex, when I read the Bible, I just may open it and start reading it, and it ministers to me, and I didn't even know that I was going to read that it had anything to do with me until I started reading it. Revelation. Anybody getting anything out of this today? Follow the truth. Know who you're following. You know what most people do when they hit hard times? They quit following Jesus. They get mad at Jesus. Double up their fist at Jesus. It's not a good idea to get mad at Jesus. Okay? It's not good to want to fight with him. Amen? He's the only one that can lead you out. Amen. It's good to know that he's our leader. And it's good to know that we're following him. We're not following some man. Listen, Solid Rock, Facebook, listen to me. Solid Rock Family Church is not a cult. I don't know where you think you got that from, but which camera am I on? Show me. Which one? Am I zoomed in? Zoom me in. Listen, we are not a cult at Solid Rock. I don't know why you come up with that stuff. We love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength. I'll tell you what we are. We're a whole bunch of imperfect people striving to follow Jesus to the best of our ability. That's what we are. Okay, got it off my chest. Better know who you're following. How many knows the Holy Spirit's a good guide? Huh? He said, I will guide you. I will help you get through those difficult times. That's what a guide does. A guide helps you through these. But Roth, you're a fisherman. Did you ever go fishing somewhere where you had to have a guide to help show you where the fish were? If you didn't have a guide, you might be circling around that lake for days looking for the fish. But the guide knows where the fish are. We were in Merrimack Caverns one time. And we had a guide in front of us. Thank God we had a guide. But at a certain place in Merrimack Caverns, they turned off all the lights and it became so black you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. Anybody done that before? Been there? I'm going to tell you something. Thank God you got a guide in those times. Because you don't know where to step, which way to go, what to do. Thank God for the guide. The Holy Spirit is our guide. He is our guide. He will guide us into all the truth. Some of you are not going to clap or shout if I stood on my head, would you? How about if I do a handstand? Would you clap your hands then? He's the only one that can lead us out, Dwayne. He's the only one that can lead us out. If you ever get lost in the woods and you need a guide, we had a picnic one time here at Solid Rock, and we took everybody down to Sam A. Baker Park, and we had a little old lady that went with us, and she decided she was going to go walking through the paths and through the trails. We got ready to go home, and we couldn't find sister.
Two ladies.
We couldn't find, what's their names? I won't tell you their names. Are they both dead now? Okay. But anyway, they didn't make it out of the woods. No, they didn't. No, they made it. I just had to say that. But we got ready to go and we couldn't find these two ladies. And they got lost. Hang on just a minute. They got lost in the woods. And so Rob Johnson started trotting off. He said, I'll find them. And he trotted off and found them. And he led them back to the camp. Aren't you thankful that the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us into all truth. Thank God. Maybe you've been on a hunting expedition and you need a guide. You need the guide to show you where those elk are at. Or you need a guide to show you where all those pheasants are. Amen? And then I love this part here. Timothy, remember your mother and your grandmother. Remember they taught you those Old Testament stories about how the Passover was? They told you the stories about how David built an ark, right? Have you heard that one before? David built the ark? And how Noah built the ark and David killed the giant and the three Hebrew children were thrown in the lion's den. Remember, your mama, your grandmother taught you those things. Don't forget to follow their examples. Number one, keep following Jesus. Number two, but you, Timothy, have closely followed my example and the truth that I've imparted to you. Now look at this next part. You have modeled your life after the love and endurance I've demonstrated in my ministry by not giving up. Oh, I love that. I love that part. Don't just follow my example, but listen. Or don't just follow my example, but follow me. You've got to model what you've seen. You've got to live what you've seen. You can't just look. You've got to model it yourself. Amen. You're not going to make it to heaven on grandma's faith. That's right. You're not going to get into heaven by the skirts of your mother. You've got to model it yourself. And I'm going to tell you, here's what I'm getting to. We need some godly role models at Solid Rock. We need some godly men and godly women that will be role models for our younger people to follow. Because I want to tell you something. They look to you. They look up to you. And guess what? They're watching you. They're watching you. They watch how you treat your wife. They watch how you interact with other people. They watch how you come into church and all grumpy and grungy. They see how you are. They're watching you. We are role modeling whether we want to or not. Amen. Carl, they watch us, don't they? You teach him what, one Sunday, two Sundays a month? One Sunday a month, he's up there with those kids and he's modeling. He's setting the example. He's teaching them. And you know what? When he comes out of that class in those other 3 weeks, they're still watching him. We're people are watching us. How are we modeling Jesus Christ? Come on up, worship team. If I see you walking up this way, I'll start to slow down. If you're going through adversity, find somebody. Find somebody that's been there and came out on the other side. Huh? If you can't find anybody, look at me. Because I feel like I've been through a whole lot and I'm still standing. Some of you have been through a lot and you're still standing. Some of you filed bankruptcy, but now you have a credit score of over 800. That's what God does. I just ministered a few weeks ago well, where'd this come from? I think it's good for us to have a good credit score. I think it's good. And somebody came up to me and said, I had to file bankruptcy a few years ago, and I was so embarrassed, and I thought I'd never have any credit, thought I'd always be, just second class and that, like that. And you know what? They said, my credit score now, just after 5 or 6 years, is over 800. That's awesome. Amen. So, why'd I say that? Oh, if you're going through adversity, find somebody that's been there and came out on the other side. Oh, I like this one. If you're going through marriage, you're all going to love me for this statement. If you're going through a marriage spell, don't go down to Hooters to find a counselor. Is that all right? You going to be all right, Teresa? No, I don't think I want to. Thank you. He said what?
Is that number three?
No, we're still on number two. We can make it number three if you want to. Actually, I wrote in my notes, don't go down to the hoot nanny. But I thought I might just change it up a little bit. I want men and women in my life. Darlene and I have mentors. I had a wonderful pastor till he died just a few years ago. And I tell you what, my pastor reamed me out a few times. Thank God for leadership that will do that. But listen. If leadership doesn't rebuke and correct and help and teach, then there's not much of a leader there, is there? It's not the favorite part of our job. But if you need help, don't go to somebody that's never been through something. Don't go to somebody that doesn't know how to help you through a situation. Don't, if you're down and out, don't go to another down and outer and ask them what you should do. Amen. So model. We are to be models for other people to look at. Well, at your job, what do people see when they see you? They see you come in with that big black Bible. They see you come in with that big old frown on your face and you say, would you like to be a Christian like me? You're not going to make it very far with them. Be the kind of example that people want to follow. We don't follow somebody because they're perfect. I want to tell you something. Luke Hale did a fantastic job Wednesday night. And he'll be the first to tell you that he's not perfect. But he did an awesome job. Lou Kramer, he'll tell you he's not perfect. I found out something the other day about Lou that just blew my mind. That he used to do when he was a young boy. I said, there's no way Lou used to do that. Don't look at me like that. We talked about it. All right. He used to chew tobacco and have a big thing in his mouth. But he was only 8 years old. I mean, he was a rough old sinner boy, at 8 years old. But there's nobody here. But you get Lou up here. This guy walking down the aisle here, Alex Young, he is a, what a speaker he is. He has the knowledge of God's word. And you know what? They're all three different flavors. This guy at the keyboard over here, he can preach, he can teach, he can minister, but all four are different flavors. Darlene and I are different flavors. But I thank God for the role models we have at Solid Rock. I told Darlene this morning, I said, look around. We were back there in the back because she said something last Wednesday night about all the men in our church. Many, many churches have 70% women and 30% men. And we looked around and I tell you what, 90% was men. Probably because they were eating breakfast and the women were back there working with the kids or something. The women were probably working and we were drinking coffee and eating donuts. But it looked so good to see all the men in the church. Let me see if I can find number three. When you get into adversity, don't change your appetite. Write that down. Don't change your appetite. Verse 10. What I have hungered for in life has now become your longing as well. When you get into adversity, don't change your appetite. Anybody ever been on an Atkins diet? No? How about a keto, what do they call it, keto diet? Juice diet, California diet. They've got all kinds of them out there now. And I tell you what, those things work so good. When I was on the Atkins diet, I was losing weight like crazy, and I was so committed to it. Nothing could stop me from getting off the Atkins diet, except when I drove by Krispy Kreme and that light was flashing on, and I saw that hot frosting dripping down on those hot donuts. Suddenly, Atkins was out the door. Listen, if you want to advance in adversity, don't change your appetite. Stick with the Word of God. Can I hear an amen? Yeah, no longer was the salads and the nuts any good. I wanted Krispy Kreme. How many here likes Krispy Kreme? How many would be willing to go up there and pick a couple dozen up for our 4 o'clock meeting? Don't do it, George. Here's what I'm saying. Why don't you stand with me? Then I'll get a little closer to ending. Here's what's Paul saying. What I've hungered for in life has now become your longing as well. Paul says, when you're going through adversity, stay hungry for what matters the most. Did you get that? What did I just say? Stay hungry for what matters most. Don't get distracted. When you're going through adversity, don't change your diet. Keep filling yourself with the Word of God. Well, how do I know when I've lost my hunger for Jesus? How do I know when I'm not thirsting after the things of the Lord anymore? Because you'll be easily pulled away by other things. Everything. And you'll become so distracted. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to go to church on Wednesday night. I can only come to church one Sunday morning a month. I don't do anything. I don't fast anymore. Luke brought it out Wednesday night. The importance of fasting and prayer. If we want to continue in the glory that God has bestowed upon this church, we're going to have to continue to fast and pray as a discipline, as a lifestyle, and not as a weekly thing the first of every year. Or a 3-week thing at the first of every year. Amen? You remember when Paul had that shipwreck? And not only was he shipwrecked, he had to float in on a piece of the broken boat. Not only was he a prisoner floating in on a piece of wood, he also tried to help somebody and got bit. Did you ever try to? That's a good one, right? Did you ever try to help somebody and they turn around and stab you in the back? Anybody? Paul was trying to help, and he got bit by a viper that should have killed him. You know what he said? Okay, I quit. I'm out of here. I quit. I give it up. It's not worth it. No. He refused to quit. You know what he did? He turned that mess into a miracle. He turned that thing around, shook it off, and then he went and prayed for the leader of the island, and the leader of the island got saved, and they all come to know Jesus. Woo! Okay, where am I at? Let's do one more, okay? So I said, stay hungry for God. Stay in the house of God. Number four. This is pretty self-explanatory. When you're faced with adversity, continue enduring. I know that's simple, and it sounds like, oh, Pastor, can't you come up with any deeper? You know what? When we get this one down, we'll go to something deeper, okay? When you're faced with adversity, continue to endure. You've heard tie a knot in the rope and hang on. Just keep swinging. Listen to this. Paul tells Timothy, here we read it a while ago. Look what I've went through. Look what I went through at Antioch. Look what I went through at Iconium. Look what I went through at Lystra. I went through everywhere. Everywhere I went, they've tried to kill me. They even stoned me. Threw me out of the city. They threw me in jail for preaching. Thank God the Apostle Paul did not quit. Thank God Jesus did not quit when they drug him off that night after they got those 30 pieces of silver. Amen. Paul didn't say, well, I didn't sign up for this. He didn't say, this is not what I expected. I didn't expect people would treat me like this. I thought that was a loving church. I thought those people were full of the love of God. I thought those people over there were better than that. Paul didn't say that. He just kept on going on. Amen. Amen. Then he says, Timothy, you're going to have some of the same stuff. You're going to have to go through some of the same stuff that I've gone through. Not everybody's going to love you. Darlene, I still can't figure out why everybody don't love us. I mean, you're so adorable. You're so adorable and so beautiful. And when you get up and preach, I mean, it just flows out. And we love everybody. Why? Listen, everybody's not going to love you. So if you're looking for acceptance from people and you're looking for everybody to love you, forget it, Jack. It ain't going to happen. And that's okay. That's okay. Say this with me. God will deliver me out of them all. Say again this with me. God has never lost a battle. What are we going to do when faced with adversity? We're going to keep on advancing. We're going to keep on going. Verse 14, you must continue to advance in strength. To advance in strength. Father, I thank you for the word this morning. I love your word, Father. Thank you for giving us your word, and I thank you so much for the revelation and illumination, and thank you so much for opening up the word that we can read it and see it and understand it. And it ministers to us today. Every word of God is spirit breathed. It's God breathed. It's living. It's active and sharper than any two-edged sword. God, help us to open up our Bibles daily and read. God, even if it's only for 15 minutes, may we discipline ourselves. We know that we're going to go through adversity, but we also know the only way through adversity is to stay on course with your word. Thank you, Father. Thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for your anointing. God, thank you for anointing my lips and our ears and hearts to hear and receive your word today. I pray, God, we walk out of this place today with our chest thrown out, our head up high, a song in our heart, a spring in our step, that no matter what comes my way, no matter what the devil throws our way, my God is bigger, greater, more powerful, stronger than anything. Sing, guys, sing.
There is none like you.